Sunday, December 22nd, the fourth Sunday of Advent. First reading from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Thus says the Lord, you Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God. And they shall remain, for now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace. Haydock Commentary. Ephrathah was the ancient name of Bethlehem, and Bethlehem seemed too mean to send forth a ruler over the rest. The ancient Jews clearly understood this of the Messiah. Bethlehem, though a little town, was rendered more illustrious than many others by the birth of Christ. His origin is from of old, from ancient times, because the Son was begotten of the Father from all eternity. Christ enjoyed absolute eternity with the Father and the Holy Ghost, though in his human nature he was born in time. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God." First he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. Then he says, behold, I come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Haydock Commentary. Sacrifice and oblation thou didst not desire, that is, such sacrifices as were offered in the former law could not please thee, appease thy anger, nor make a sufficient reparation for sin. But a body thou hast fitted to me, that is, thou didst decree I should be made man, to suffer and die upon a cross to redeem mankind. And I as willingly undertook the work of man's redemption. He takes away the first to establish the second, that is, he takes away what I first mentioned, the imperfect sacrifices of the law of Moses, that to them might succeed the sacrifice of Christ. The source and primary cause of our sanctification is the will of God, who so loved the world as to give us his only Son. The meritorious cause of our sanctification is the voluntary oblation of Jesus Christ, sacrificed for us upon the cross. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Mary set out not on the same day on which she was saluted by the angel, but after 2 or 3 days. What was the reason of her going away? First, that she might announce the conception of the Word to others. For Christ having become incarnate in her, willed immediately to begin his mission as a Savior, for which he had been sent by the Father. Whence St. Ambrose says, "She departed not as disbelieving in the oracle, or as uncertain about the messenger, or doubtful of the example, but as rejoicing in the fulfillment of her wish, conscientious in the performance of her duty, and hastening on account of her joy." Second, to cleanse John from original sin, and to fill him and his mother Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit, and that so the honor and devotion of all to Christ might be increased. Third, to congratulate her kinswoman on the miraculous conception of John. Fourth, to give all future ages a remarkable example of humility and charity which she showed in visiting Elizabeth, though she was now made Mother of God and Mistress of the world. Wherefore, under the title of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin, many congregations have been instituted for visiting the poor and the sick, and those in prison. And recently, under this title, St. Francis de Sales, Bishop of Geneva, instituted a congregation of religious women who are well known throughout France for ministering to the sick. The hill country mentioned here is either Hebron or the hill country of Judea. One reason for her haste, says St. Ambrose, is because she was full of joy in the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Holy Spirit knows nothing of slow endeavors. Origen gives another reason, because Christ in the womb of the Virgin was hastening to cleanse John from original sin and to sanctify him. St. Ambrose says Mary was the first to give her salutation, for the more chaste a virgin is, the more humble she ought to be, and the more ready to give way to her elders. Notice with St. Ambrose that Elizabeth was the first to hear the salutation of Mary, but John was the first to perceive the spirit and effect of her salutation. For to him, as the future forerunner of Christ, this salutation of the Virgin, yea, even of Christ, was chiefly directed. Theophylactus says, the voice of the Virgin was the voice of God incarnate in her. The fathers of the Church maintain that this leaping of John was not only supernatural, but also showed an active use of reason, and proceeded from true joyfulness of mind. And this is clear from the words of Elizabeth, "The babe leaped in my womb for joy." Also they say that John communicated his joy to his mother. John at this time received the gift of prophecy. He likewise received the extraordinary gifts which befitted the future forerunner of Christ, for this had been predicted by the angel when he said, "He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb." In John, therefore, that saying of St. John Chrysostom is true, "His leaping was a sign of perfect soundness, and also of sanctity." Hence, some think that John was free from sinful desire and never committed venial sin. But this privilege seems to have been peculiar to the Blessed Virgin, to whom John was inferior. He had, therefore, sinful desire and did commit venial sin, falling into it unawares, but perhaps never deliberately. For it is a rule of St. Augustine and of theologians that whoever has or has had original sin has also sinful desire, and consequently commits venial sin. But John had original sin, therefore he must have committed venial sin. Learn morally of what advantage the salutation and prayers of the saints are, and especially of the Blessed Virgin, who by one word of salutation filled both John and Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit. St. John Chrysostom says, "Not only the words, but the very aspect of the saints is full of spiritual grace. For the saints, and above all the Blessed Virgin, are full of the fiery spirit of love. Wherefore he who strives to make other men spiritual should first fill himself with the divine spirit. For thus when he speaks, he will breathe the same forth upon others. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Not just John, but Elizabeth receives here the gift of prophecy. St. Ambrose says, "Elizabeth first heard the word, but John first experienced the grace. The mother was not filled before the son, but when the son had been filled with the Holy Spirit, he filled the mother also." And she said, "Blessed art thou among women." That is, thou art blessed of all women, because thou hast been chosen to be the mother of God, whom the whole world cannot receive. "And blessed is the fruit of thy womb." The fountain of all the blessings and graces bestowed upon the Blessed Virgin by God was to be the mother of God. For God adorned his mother with every grace in order that she might become a habitation worthy of him, that she might be worthy to become the mother of God. And whom would such a son bless rather than his mother? Elizabeth, therefore, by the inspiration of the Spirit, knew that Mary had already conceived, and that the Son of God was incarnate in her. She alludes to the prophecy and promise made to David in Psalm 132, "Of the fruit of thy body shall I set upon thy seat." The words of Elizabeth, "Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me," are words of the greatest humility and reverence. John imitated his mother, saying when Christ came to be baptized of him, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" By Elizabeth referring to Mary as Mother of my Lord, it is clear, first, that the humanity of Christ was already in Christ endowed with life and united to the Word or Son of God. Second, that the Blessed Virgin is rightly called Theotokos, that is, Mother of God, and not only Christotokos, Mother of Christ, as the heretic Nestorius maintained. Third, that in Christ there are two natures, the human, for this alone could he take of his Virgin Mother, and the divine, which the Father alone communicated to him, but one person, not human, but divine. For if in Christ there had been two persons, as there are two natures, God could not properly be said to have been born of a virgin, to have suffered and been crucified, but another person, that is to say, a man, or the person of a man. But now it is properly so said, because there is one person in Christ, which is the reason why the attributes of the one nature may be ascribed in the concrete to the other, so that this man Jesus may properly be called God, eternal and almighty, and on the other hand, God in him may properly be called man, passible and mortal. Yea, he may even be said to have suffered and died, because it is the same person, which on account of the two natures which it has, is at the same time God and man, and accordingly assumes to itself the actions and attributes both of God and man. For action belongs to persons, and this sole divine person in Christ is signified alike by the word man or Jesus, and by the word God or Son of God. Wherefore what is truly said of one is also truly said of the other. John leaping in the womb symbolically prefigured his own martyrdom, for by his dancing he represented the dancing of the daughter of Herodias, by which, having pleased Herod, she asked and obtained of him the head of John. Elizabeth knew by the Holy Spirit that the Blessed Virgin had believed the angel when he announced the conception and nativity of Christ, and she silently censures the unbelief of her own husband.